Good morning, church. Good morning. Oh, happy Sabbath it is today. I don't know about you guys, but leaving from Logan Reserve this morning, we left in the rain, and it took all the way to Munroobin for it to stop raining. And we were just on the edge of it, and every time we turned a corner, there was a new rainbow. And the kids were buzzing out the whole way. I've never seen so many rainbows in a row. It was just one after another, after another, after another. And they weren't these ones that were miles off where you can hardly see the end of it. They were really close by, and quite a few of them we actually drove through it, and it disappeared as you're driving under or just through the edge of it. Some of them were finishing on the car and you'd turn the corner and they'd shoot off that way. It was beautiful and really amazing. It's just really nice to know that God's with us on a Sabbath morning. And it's nice. I haven't seen rainbows like that for a very long time. Last time, I was having all sorts of issues with this clicker thingamajig. So hopefully, we don't have so many issues with that today. It's just the right-hand button, is it? There we go. There's our... Oh, for that, I didn't line it up properly. There's our scripture reading again. And that's, I suppose, the purpose for my sermon today, is to lift Jesus up before us and to showcase his salvation that he has offered to each of us. And I'm not going to be going through the crucifixion story or any of those sorts of things, but I just want to fulfill that verse. I want to lift Jesus up before everybody here this morning so that we can be drawn to Jesus and realize how much we love him and how much he means to us. Back in 2017, two young ladies were trying to sail their boat from Hawaii to Tahiti. And they ended up spending 5 months adrift on their boat because just after leaving port, they hit a storm. And according to their story, it was a Category 11 storm. Category one below a hurricane. The massive waves, strong wind, they lost control of their vehicle, their engines died, they lost their ability to communicate through their emergency devices, and they were lost at sea for 5 months. They had their two dogs with them, so they weren't short for company. But 5 months later, when they were picked up by a Navy ship, their story started to come out. And they had an EPIRB with them, but they didn't use it. They had a year's supply of food because apparently they were living on their boat. So they didn't think they were in danger. Their boat hadn't sunk, but they didn't use their EPIRB. And I suppose if we sit down and think about it, why, what would go through your head to be lost at sea? One, I suppose you'd have to be comfortable where you were. Like they said they didn't feel threatened. So they live on a boat, they love the ocean, and I suppose they like adventure. So, sure, no worries, we'll just see where the ocean takes us and we'll wander this way and wander that way and the barnacles will grow on the boat and we'll get rescued eventually, and I suppose if we run out of food, we'll press the button on the EPIRB and get saved if we haven't washed up somewhere eventually. Do we face life-threatening situations? We may not think we do because we live in Australia. We're not in a war zone. We're not... We're fairly safe. But is God our EPIRB or our boat? So I'd like to suggest that the reason these two ladies felt so secure in floating around the ocean for 5 months until they just happened across by a ship was because they trusted their boat. They knew their boat and they felt that their boat was safe. Do we have that relationship with our God? Is our God saving us from where we are? Or is he our last chance emergency that when I really need help, I'll run over here and I'll grab my little EPIRB and I'll press my button and I'll get down on my knees and I'll pray to God and know that he'll save me? The ladies didn't feel they needed their EPIRB because... Sorry. For those of you who don't know what an EPIRB is, it's kind of like a mobile phone, but it's connected to satellite. And it has lots of different abilities. It connects to every satellite that it can pick up. And when you hit the button, it sends an SOS. And the people on the other end in the control station will triangulate where you are to within maybe 5 or 6 meters, and they can send a helicopter straight out and pick you up. And if you're lost at sea, that's quite helpful. And they have EPIRBs that work in the bush as well, although if you have an EPIRB from the ocean, don't take it into the bush with you because they're designed differently. And if you use one from the ocean in the bush, you will be lost for a very long time because they can't find you. It sends signals all around the place and it bounces off all the gullies and it takes them a lot longer to find you. So, is God our boat? Is God our lifeline? Does he keep us afloat? Does he hold all we need to survive? Because when you're two people lost at sea, your boat is your lifeline. It's everything that you have. It's your home, it's your shelter, it's your, hopefully, your means to get somewhere, but in this case it wasn't. But they were still safe. I'd hope that God is both. He is both our boat and our EPIRB, isn't he? Because there are times when, even though we're in the boat with God, that we still feel an extra need of his care and protection, and in those moments we can call out to him. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Let's turn there and have a read of one moment when people were in the boat with Jesus. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind closed, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" That's a very good example of when Jesus was both in the boat and a beacon at the same time. Because when he's sound asleep, there's a big storm and Jesus nods off to sleep. He knows that his Father has control and power over life and is in the business of looking after people. Matthew 14:22 to 33. another example, but more an example of Jesus being an Epherb, I think, on this one. And this is the story of Jesus walking on the water. And immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And this was just after he'd fed the 5,000 people and everyone was looking to forcibly take him and make him the king. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." I know that in my life especially, I've had those Jesus reaches out and pulls you out of the water moments. And I'm sure we all have. That's why we're here, because we've had one of those moments where Jesus has reached down, rescued us. Just like when a lost person would hit that Epherb and the rescue helicopter comes in and they drop a man there and help you out with, if you're in the bush, they'll carry you out, or if they'll come and pick you up out of the ocean, drop you a life raft. What was it with Peter? It was doubt, wasn't it, that made him... He was all keen, as like, "Yeah, I can do it." And he got out and he walked. And then something happened. He took his eyes off the Lord, didn't he? A big wave or some wind. Maybe he had long hair and his hair blew in his face. And he got a bit frightened. And the distractions of the earth and the world around us, all our circumstances, blocked his view of Christ. I like that picture. I don't know if he sunk that far, but even if he did, Jesus would have had him. And his first instinct was not to try and turn around and jump back in the boat. It was to cry out, "Lord, save me." And for each of us too, we need to have that instinct that in those moments where we are under distress, that we need to reach out and, "Lord, save me," use our Epherb that we have. Don't be like the two girls who got stuck for 5 months thinking they were fine, not using their Epherb. Apparently all the other electrical devices in their boat worked fine as well. And the Coast Guard seemed to think that they did it on purpose, because their story didn't quite match up. The weather report showed that there wasn't actually a very big storm that should have broke their boat. And there weren't a massive... The sharks they were talking about seeing were too big for the size of the sharks that are in any of the waters in the world. They would have to have been dinosaur sharks, and their Epherb was untouched. And the Coast Guard came to the conclusion that whatever happened to their boat, they decided that they just wanted to be out there by themselves and not worry about it. and they haphazardly got saved, and it was good for them. Are we like that as Christians sometimes? We're happy to be out in the world, doing our own thing, coming to church on Sabbath, singing songs, giving tithe, giving offering, and then going back and floating around again. We might have sensed something in the sermon that the sharks might be coming, don't know, but we didn't hit the buzzer. We didn't ask God to come into our life in a deep, personal way. We're just doing the thing. We're just doing it because I was raised an Adventist. It's what I've always done. It's comfortable. I've got plenty of food in the boat. I can last for a whole year. I'm only 3 months through this thing. I don't have to press the buzzer yet. Or do we realize that I don't know where this ocean is taking me? It could take me to the middle of nowhere. I could get stuck in the Pacific junk pile. I don't know where I'm going. Maybe I need to press this buzzer now. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, tells us of a story which I find quite interesting. Let's go have a read. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, the parable of the great supper. Now when one of these who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he, Jesus, said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see. I must go see it. I ask that you have me excused.'" It's a common thing nowadays. All the property developments between here and Brisbane, there's lots of people out buying land. Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused." Work and our busyness in life can often get in the road of our commitment to God. Still yet another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Family. The devil can use our family even as a trap to hold us away from God if we let him. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." And talk louder? Okay, sorry. I think that part is the saddest part of that text, that a man was making dinner for his friends, and they all came up with an excuse as to why, in the end, they wouldn't come and share with him. And instead of having a doggy bag of leftovers, everybody got invited. Thank you, Lord Jesus. for opening an invitation to us, so that all who believe in you may be saved, Father. May, Lord, we share your invitation with other people, and that we may be a shining light for you in our community, so that others may see not only that you save, Lord, but that we are saved, and that they may come to know others, know you through us. Thank you in your holy name we pray. Amen.